Well, returning to federal politics, and the government pushed its tax changes through the parliament this week as debates on housing and multiculturalism intensified. Let's take a listen to the week that was.
The passage of these bills will mean a fair go for first home buyers.
It's disappointing. Having said that, it is a step, a small step in the right direction.
So we're in a market correction now?
That's correct. I don't think that's controversial at all.
Well, I think the housing minister was using a general description rather than a technical definition.
Independents Allegra Spender and Zali Steggall are announcing this morning the new political party.
Think of it as a sporting team, if you will, in terms
sporting team has a captain.
The Socceroos, in fact, represent my vision of a monocultural Australia.
It's about a shared set of values.
I believe that that can coexist with multiculturalism is the question.
Well, I don't quite know what you mean by that question.
How about you stand up to One Nation?
This is a ridiculous argument. I can't believe that we've managed to get ourselves into this. We are a multicultural society. Let's face it, we already are. Goodness me.
We're quick to anger. We don't debate. The level of tolerance is not what it used to be. If people just took the heat out of the debate for the media, certainly continue to do your job, but be careful how you do your job.
Well, to analyse it for you, Friday political panel coming to you from Penrith this morning. Andy Marks is the Executive Director of the Australian Technology Network of Universities and a long-time political scientist in Western Sydney. Andy, it's lovely to have you here this morning. Thank you so much for coming along.
Good to be here, Sally.
In Canberra, also joined by the Australian's Chief Political Reporter, Greg Brown. Greg, welcome.
Good morning, Sally.
And Radio National Breakfast political correspondent, Stephanie Boris. Steffi, welcome back.
Hello, Sally.
Andy, if we start here in Western Sydney, we've heard a lot about political disaffection and the surge of support for One Nation. How do you see that playing out here in Western Sydney? Because it's a nuanced picture. It's not straight up.
Mm. Yeah, look, you're at the crucible here in Penrith, Sally, and it is very much that word disaffection more than sort of wedded support for One Nation, I think. There's a very, you know, strong sense in Western Sydney as a whole that conventional politics isn't delivering. I think, you know, all of the things that we've heard about for a long term around mortgage stress, around access to services, infrastructure supports, health education, there have been challenges for generations here, and they're improving. Education rates are lifting rapidly. But that sense that conventional politics isn't working for Western Sydney is something that you've seen bubble up in recent federal and state elections, and you've seen it in over average support for, you know, Clive Palmer's United Australia Party and also One Nation in recent elections. Yes, they've been on the fringes, but their support in Western Sydney has been stronger than it has been elsewhere around the country.
This political climate kind of loops back on itself. So some multicultural communities have felt somewhat under threat by some of the comments that are made by One Nation, which is about capturing disaffected voters. But some of those people who've felt offended are also disaffected voters themselves.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and you only need to land one blow on an issue in Western Sydney. And if it happens to be something about, you know, tempering migration levels, or it happens to be something around making housing more affordable, a lot of the other noise around those positions, you know, people will tolerate. You know, you're talking about a community where there are people very heavily engaged in politics, but also others who just want something done, quote unquote. And I think for them, if there's somebody that's going to upend the system, a system that, in their view, is broken, then they're willing to give that a try.
Mm. Greg, a question for you. The Prime Minister showed some frustration with the debate this week, calling some media outlets a cheer squad for the three right-wing parties in response to a question from you. What did you think of that answer and the tone of it from the PM?
Well, that particular answer was actually in response to a question on the budget, so it wasn't related to this issue per se. I thought the answer from the PM was a bit petulant, to be honest with you, and not really. It showed signs that he wanted to downplay any criticism that his budget was receiving. But as far as the PM's overall response to the issue of the rise of One Nation, which I think was really at the heart of your the heart of your question. I think that clearly the government is spooked by some of the favourable coverage that One Nation are receiving. It's certainly not across the board. I'd say the media overwhelmingly has been critical of One Nation. Certainly at The Australian, we've been holding a tough line over One Nation's inability to show that their policies stack up. So I think they're spooked by that, but also they are pivoting, in fairness to them, to keeping the debate over economics. And I think if the Labor Party focus on One Nation's economic policies, they're in a much more favourable territory than if they're focusing on, you know, what the media is doing or on One Nation's cultural policies.
Steph, in public comments and also in strategy, how are the major parties going to try and sandbag some of the seats that One Nation is going after?
Well, an element of it, Sally, is definitely just even social media, right? One Nation has been very successful in getting their message out to voters across the country. They are loud, they are slick. It is reaching a number of people that maybe in the past haven't even really been involved with politics as such, but are angry and annoyed with governments. We even heard you were speaking with Ed Husic earlier. He was saying that it does have to be a wake-up even for the government. Yes, a number of these voters were coalition voters and they're going to One Nation, but there is an acknowledgement that potentially you could even have some Labor voters going to One Nation. And in the past, as Ed was explaining, you know, Labor was worried about losing votes to the Greens. Now they're worried about potentially losing votes to One Nation as well. So the threat of One Nation is not just for the coalition, it is also for the government as well. So how you counter that, as I mentioned, one of the areas is social media. But also it's just being able to try and get the message out around the economy in particular, because that's where, you know, well, the coalition obviously argues they're the better economic managers, but the government at the moment, with all their tax reforms, both are trying to argue that either one of them would be better placed to run and manage the Australian economy rather than, say, One Nation.
And if you look at One Nation, Western Sydney in the last election, I mean, One Nation's polling results were 6% across the board, their primary vote. And Western Sydney, if you look at some of the individual seats, is not inconsistent with that level. So One Nation were around at the last election. And even in Chris Bowen's seat of McMahon, I think their vote was nearly 9%. So it's certainly something Labor need to keep an eye on. What I would say, though, Sally, is that the frustrations people feel about housing prices, infrastructure, population growth, that benefits One Nation. But when Pauline Hanson starts talking about things like monoculture, and when she starts criticising people who speak another language at home, effectively criticising them, then I think that that's where she gets into trouble in Western Sydney. I think there's certainly a chance that she can overdo it. And I think for the Labor Party, emphasising that while also emphasising the coalition's growing focus on this is what they're going to do to try and prevent migrant communities shifting.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, a Friday political panel. My guest this morning, political scientist Andy Marks, Greg Brown, journalist with The Australian, and our own Stephanie Boris. Andy, what are your thoughts listening to that?
Yeah, look, I think that question about how you may alienate some people in Western Sydney with comments about migrants and multiculturalism, it's complicated, Sally. There are generational waves of migrants in Australia, and some of those earlier generations may strongly support some of the stances that Pauline Hanson is taking. Also, levels of English speaking across Western Sydney broadly vary. You know, in this electorate, for example, it's below average with respect to non-English speakers. In others, it's well, well above average. And you saw that, strong support that Greg cited in Chris Bowen's electorate. The same goes for other major ministers in Jason Clare and also in Tony Burke. They are facing an electorate that, yes, is complicated on the issue of multiculturalism, but one thing they're all united on is their belief that the current system isn't serving them. And that's where you're seeing the main drift towards One Nation, and you have seen it bubbling for some time.
Thank you very much to our Friday political panel. Andy Marks, it's been great, valuable to have you on the panel this morning, and good to have you here in person as well. Thank you so much.
Good on yourself.
Greg Brown is Chief Political Reporter at The Oz. Greg, thank you.
Thank you, Sally.
And Steffi Boris is our very own political correspondent. Steph, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sally.